Gideon, Bethany, Mark, appreciate that this morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and open to them to where we were for our scripture reading. Thank you, Brian, for reading that for us this morning, Psalm 124. Let's go ahead and read it one more time. Let's stand together and for a reading from the Word of the Lord. It won't hurt us to hear this again. Our help comes from the Lord. This is the one Song of Degrees. It says, out of all of these songs of ascents, there's a couple of them that say, of David. This one is by David. It reads, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that for your unseen hand, your helping hand that helps us through the twists and turns, the darkness of night that we find ourselves in. This was Israel, not uncommon around the world. Since Adam's fall, life is complicated. Since Adam's fall, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so we thank you for Psalm 124, written at a time of peril. I don't know exactly what was going on in David's life. I certainly don't know what's going on in the lives of those who are here this morning. But Lord, as you helped Israel, creator of heaven and earth, it is not asking too much to say, Lord, may you help us. Bless this Lord's Day of worship, December 15, year of our Lord, 2024. May your Spirit speak to hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the psalm begins with that two-letter word, strong word, not if. The first two verses, King James, if. Second verse, if. I've got a couple of books in my library. It's all boxed up right now because we're in transition, so I don't have access to them. But these two books, and D. James Kennedy wrote a lot of books. He was a Presbyterian minister out of Coral Ridge, Florida, a great minister of the gospel, so strong for years. D. James did a great job. He's safely home now. But he wrote two books that always intrigued me. I've got them in my library. What if the Bible had not been written? And what a great volume that is to read. What if the Bible had not been written? The second one I've got in my library is an if question too. What if Jesus had never been born? And the impact of Christ upon the nations and the difference the birth of this child has made. Those are two great questions. Well, this psalm begins with a what if. What if there was no God? What if there was a God but he didn't help us? Such great questions to think about this time of year and ongoing. This is my 124th month of serving you, but he wrote, D. James Kennedy wrote two great books, two great questions. The psalm before us asked a simple what if question. What if God had not been on our side? I want you to think for a moment, what if God had no part in your life this morning? What if there wasn't a God in heaven and you were just trying to get through the ebb and flow, the twists and turns, the bumps and puzzles of this life without Him? What would your life look like this morning? That is what the psalmist asks in Psalm number 124. Now, someone may be dealing with death or dealing with disease or dealing with an attack from an outside source that came out of nowhere unexpectedly, or dealing with family issues. The Lord can make all the difference in the world. That's what this psalm is saying. I've heard so many people say repeatedly throughout my life, I don't know what I would have done had it not been for the Lord. And Psalm 124 starts with what if, what if, what if, but it ends and concludes with, praise the Lord, my help comes from Him, and He, the maker of heaven and earth. So 124 talks about, in a sense, really what the blessing is of walking with God. There are so many people around you that may say, you know, I feel so sorry for you. You've swallowed that pack of lies, hook, line, and sinker. There is no God. What are you doing, you fool? But Christians know something different. Believers walk with the Lord, and He is the creator of heaven and earth, and we praise the Lord for that. And Psalm 124 is written to show us the blessing of being a Christian, the blessing of walking with the Lord. What a blessing God makes, not just on Sundays, in everyday life. God makes a huge difference. Paul would write, if God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God takes up our cause, it doesn't matter what else is going on in this world. I can make it through anything. If I've got God with me, I'm never, ever alone. There may not be another human being within 100 miles, but the Lord is with me. And Psalm 124, I can't tell you when it was written. Written by David, so could have been any number of things. I think that the reason for it being written is for a reason, that we could just apply it to seasons of someone is, you know, deceasing, or someone is going through a grave illness, or someone's going through surgery, or someone's going through some twist, turn, some bump in the road, someone's experiencing loneliness. And I tell you, loneliness is a real problem, but you are never alone. God is with you. And so I want us to see these three things from these eight verses this morning. I want the writer meditates on being what I call the three D's. Distraught is the first one. He is wringing his hands saying, oh Lord, you know, what if all the unbelievers around me are right and you're not there? He's distressed. He is distraught. The second thing he talks about is not being distraught. He talks about being devoured. I mean, if you're not there, I'm going to be shaken. I'm going to be shaken to pieces like some, you know, dog with a toy that's stuffed with. He's just going to shake it till the stuffing comes out of it. I'm going to be wiped out. He is distraught and devoured. The last thing that I want us to see, he is delivered. He finally comes through this distress. He comes through all of this anxiety, and he realizes and puts his full complement of weight and faith on the Lord. Puts his money down. God's in. I'm in. However this thing shakes out, it's going to be okay. First, distraught in verses 1 and 2. If it had not been for the Lord, it's these two verses in the King James start with the word if. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, Israel needs to say it loud and clear. America needs to say it loud and clear. Japan needs to say it loud and clear. China, Russia needs to say it loud and clear. If it had not been the Lord, the second verse, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. I think the most distressing thought I could have is, what if there's no God? I love Kennedy. What if the Bible hadn't been read? Well, you need to buy it and put it in your life. Love Kennedy writing, what if Jesus had never been born? A great book. I think he needs to write now. He's been promoted to heaven. Somebody, one of you guys write it. What if there was no God? What a great question. And that's what the distress and distraught of verses 1 and 2 is all about. And there's plenty of people who think there's no God. I mean, the world will say this loud and clear, God didn't create you. You created God. There is no God. When I was a kid, Time Magazine, the headline, God is dead. Oh, don't they want it to be true? He's not dead. He's alive and well. He's not dead. I think it was Karl Marx who said, religion is the opium of the masses. And, you know, they'll cling to a recent president, these people that cling to God and guns as if it was some mock sentence, and that would say America has never been a Christian nation, not a Christian nation. God forbid that would ever be the case. Mark Twain says, if there is a God, a malign, the word means wicked, he is a malign thug, if there is a God. And actually Samuel Clemens was married to a devout Christian woman, but because of his atheistic approach to things, on her deathbed, she had no hope in God. And he would tell her, honey, 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 turn back to your faith. But Clemens had been so brutal to her that she had almost lost all faith. But there, the world says there is no God. And the writer of Psalm 124 says, Clemens was right? What if Marx is right? What if Time Magazine is right? Where would we be? And that's the writer of, in his distressed moment, Psalm 124, asked that question. People say, what's the greatest need of mankind? And a lot of people say, well, you know, they need wealth. If everybody had wealth, and that's what a communist socialist, everybody level the playing field, put as much jingle in one guy's pocket as much jingle in the next guy's pocket. Everybody wealthy here. Some people say, well, it's education. That's the greatest. If you actually educate everybody, then you will eradicate all the problems of the world. But actually what you do, if you educate the world without God, you have people who kill others with bows and arrows, and they'll just learn to kill them with nuclear bombs. The greatest need of the world, I'm all for, financial integrity. Amen. I'm all for education. I believe in an educated clergy, whatever. But the greatest need of the world is God. Never make any mistake about it. The Father, if you have the Father plus nothing, you have everything. If you have Christ plus nothing, you have everything. If you have the Spirit plus nothing, you have everything that you need. If God had not been with Israel, now that's a question. That's how it's stated. If God had not been with us, oh Israel, where would we be? Boy, is Israel, you know, a mayday, mayday, 911 situation, 24/7, every hour of every day. Certainly not changed since October 7, 2023. I read this week an interesting article. I'd not read this before. I knew the plans were in place when you all sent Marilyn and I over in May of 23 and first part of June. An article this week said they did a mock run of their invasion of Israel in May of 23 when I was there. And the nation missed it, and they thought they were wildly successful. And I thought, I told Marilyn, May 23, they did a mock invasion. This is terrifying. But the plans were in place for a couple of years. They actually did, you know, an operation, just kind of a run on it to see how it would do, to see if Israel would catch on. But Israel has always been in the crosshairs. And actually, you know, of all the nations in the world, you've got 9 million Jews surrounded by 250 million Muslims. What are the odds of that? And they're always wanting to drive them, from the river to the sea, from the Jordan River over into the Mediterranean Sea, and wipe them out constantly. But may I say this? Just as the old devil is after the nation of Israel, the old devil is after you and after me. And what if there be no God? God had not been with Israel, they'd probably still be in Egypt as slaves. If God had not been with Israel, if they had escaped Egypt, they would have drowned in the Red Sea. If God had not been with Israel, if they somehow figured out a way to cross the Red Sea, when they came to the flooded waters of the Jordan River, they're not going to make it there. If God had not been with Israel, they would have been wiped out, checkmate, game over, finished. If God had not been with you, same conclusion. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, on this day, turn to God. It would have been game over, checkmate. The same is true for all of us. From being distressed and distraught to being devoured in verses 3 through 5. He says we would have been swallowed up. Not a slow chew, quick chew, quickly. Their wrath was kindled against us like a fire. For the waters, the flood waters, would have gone over our head, washed us downstream, never to be heard of again. In verse 5, the waters would go over our soul. Israel never looks through rose-colored glasses. Israel, when I was there may have been mock things going on around me, little tests and little pilot runs, but Israel is, I saw soldiers every time I turned around. There'd be groups of women soldiers running through the streets. There'd be groups of men soldiers running through the streets. They felt perfectly safe, although they weren't perfectly safe. There was something going on. But there were children walking through the market. There were thousands and thousands of people in old Jerusalem. And you'd see two little boys, arm around each other, 5 years old, walking home from school. In the middle of people from all over the world. They felt very safe. But Israel does not live with rose-colored glasses on. And I don't want you to live with rose-colored glasses on. We need the Lord. Someone say amen. Amen. We need the Lord. And we don't need to live with some kind of this is a sweet by and by, you know, everything's going to be okay. We need the Lord to go through the twists, the turns, the lights out at the end of the tunnel moments in our life. Swallowed, he says, alive. Ground into dust, like in the mouth of a lion. Swallowed whole, like in the mouth of some kind of a boa constrictor. Just swallowed by the alligators of this world. Just swallowed, he says. Taken out of existence. Conquered by lots of enemies. Would be Israel. I mean, I read on Wednesday night where it's Operation, you know, Jordan River crossing. He says, I'm going to do away with the Hivites. I'm going to do with the Amorites. I'm going to do away with the Perizzites. I'm going to do away with the Girgazites. Do they have any end of enemies? The nation of Israel has no end of enemies. You have no end of enemies. I do not want you to wear rose-colored glasses. There are people, there are spiritual powers that would love nothing more than to bring this guy down, this guy's family down, this guy's children down, this guy's grandchildren down, this guy's sons and daughter-in-laws down, this guy's everything down, and what's true for me is, you say, boy, I feel sorry for that guy. Same is true for you. It's no different. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Death has lost its sting. We're praying for Riker. Death has lost its sting. There is a resurrection. The old devil will not get the victory in this little boy's life. There is a resurrection. And we're all going to come out on the other side. But in the meantime, Satan, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. When our little Eugene was young, he's still this big and this tall. Eugene's my dog's name, if you don't know it. He's a gift that keeps on giving, is what he is. And he doesn't do this so much now, but when he was young, if you'd give him a little stuffed toy and it had the little he'd get a hold of it and you know, and he'd walk around and pretty soon after about 3 weeks of this, the stuffing was going that way and the stuffing was going this way and the stuffing was going every direction. When he was young, he's an old man now. He's 7 years old, and so he's kind of out of that. But the writer of the psalm is saying, we would be shaken apart. We would be destroyed. You would not be able to find any of our pieces laying around to figure out who this is. Unidentifiable. Believers, we go through this. Do we mourn? Of course we mourn. But we do not mourn like those who have no hope. We have Christ. He is our resurrection. We can stare death down. We can stare disease down. We can stare life down with Christ at our side. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He would say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will never die. You say, how can he say that? Never die. I think I've been here 10 years. I've done over 50 funerals in the 10 years that I've been here. Never die. How dare he say those words? Never die. Here's the question. When you die, do you die? And the answer is, when you know Christ as your Savior, your soul will be eternal. And the last breath you take on earth will be followed by the first breath you take in heaven. David would say, if there is no God, we're swallowed. If there is no God, we're devoured. If there is no God, there's no hope. John 16:33 says, peace and hope are found in Christ. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Amen for that. The last thing he says, after being distressed and distraught and devoured, he talks this way about being delivered in verses 6 through 8. 6 says, blessed be the Lord. He comes out of that cloud from over his head. Blessed be the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. In verse number 6, who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul, it's not captured in their net. Our soul escaped. And we have escaped. In fact, God destroys even the trap I've never trapped birds. I tried to trap a groundhog one time and caught a possum. I'm no good at it. My son and my grandsons, Gabriel and Uriah were with me at the time. They thought that was pretty cool that Grandpa had trapped a possum, but I wasn't really pleased. I was trying to trap. It was Operation Groundhog was what this was. But they say that there's a lot of ways to trap birds. I've never done that. And Satan has a lot of ways that, a lot of traps he can run. I was with a guy out in, he's in Branson, he owns about 1,600 acres, and he says, you want to go on a trap line with me? And I said, boy, do I want to go on a trap line with you. And he had set traps for coyotes, and he was trying to protect the white-tailed deer population that he had. He was trying to trap coons, trying to trap coyote, trying to cap bobcat, just trying to capture different and trap different varmints. And I thought, I'm in on this. This is a guy thing. I'm in on this. But bird traps. I've never never tried to trap a bird. But he says, like a bird being trapped. And apparently there's a lot of different means, mechanisms that you can use. The old devil has lots of traps. He uses, you know, drugs. He uses alcohol. He uses pornography. He uses marital problems. He uses illness. He uses all kinds of, he has a big bag of tricks for us. And we must not fall prey to any of those, because he says in verse 6, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. We sing as a congregation, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw. We praise the Lord, don't we? We sing that, rejoicing. Like the psalmist does in verses 6 through 8. He says, my soul has escaped out of a snare like a bird. You say, bird, you could almost knock one over, thump him in the head. I think that's the best thing to do. Our souls are weak like a bird. Our souls are vulnerable like a bird. He compares our souls to birds. I think it's a pretty good comparison. He says, you are not so tough, but you are weak. Our help, he says, is in the name of the Lord. You say, give me an example. Give me an example of our help being in the name of the Lord. Oh, Daniel, lowered down into the lion's den, and the king coming back the next morning and saying, oh, Daniel, has your God delivered you? And Daniel hollering up, yes, he has. The Lord has shut the lion's mouth. I always love those images of Daniel and those old masters painting. And you see Daniel surrounded by those male lions, and he's sound asleep on their mane. It's just a beautiful scene to watch, for sure. And those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into that fiery furnace. And they go in, and the guys that throw them in are devoured by the heat. And then they start looking into the fiery furnace and seeing what they can see. And how many did we throw in there? The king would say, we threw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, king. We threw in three. I see a fourth man in there walking around who looks like the Son of God. We are told our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. He is not quarantined to heaven. He's on earth. He's here. He's in this room. He's dealing with hearts, even today. The Creator of all, our resurrection. The Heritage Reformed Study Bible says, apart from divine support, God's people would quickly fall before raging enemies. We would be devoured like a lion. We would be wiped out like being wiped out by a tsunami wave. The only reason the people of God, and I'll tell you, the devil of all of his enemies hates the people of God, hates the church. The only reason the people of God, the only reason the church continues in this world is the almighty power of their Savior. Trust the Lord Jesus, I say. Cry out to Him today, I say. If you've never trusted Christ, trust Him today. If you need prayer, you say, I am distraught. I am being devoured. Satan is having a field day in my soul. Trust Christ. But if the second thing, if you're distraught, come for prayer this morning. And we pray that you can get to the point of verses 6, 7, and 8 where you, like David, were delivered. Let's pray together. Father, if we cry out to you, we may not even know quite how to be saved, but if we cry out to you and say we need a Savior, you will hear our prayer. If we cry out to you and say we need a Savior, you will open your arms to us. You will not reject us. You will receive us. Lord, if there's any here today who need a Savior, may they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May they come and turn the care of their soul away from their self over to you by faith in Christ. If there are any today who need prayer, you'd say, Pastor, it's Christmas season. Things are getting way out of control. I need prayer. My soul is going mayday, mayday, mayday. Please dial 911. Lord, may they come for prayer as believers. Lord, if there are any today that need a church home, a place where the Word is taught, a place where Christ is celebrated and honored, a place where we sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, may they come for church membership today. Lord, you speak to hearts. Your Spirit working now. We give you praise for all that you're doing. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.